You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he is
good. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page. Oh, give thanks unto the
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
So check this out. So this is what I heard y'all say. Kim, this is what I heard them say. They said, with every love language I gave, everybody said they feel loved when they receive that love language. So if words of affirmation is their love language, they say they feel love when somebody uses words of affirmation. So if that's what you lack, why wouldn't you want to receive that? Huh? All right, so let's just turn to the scripture right here now. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. And I'm reading out of Amplified. Because the Amplified says, to the pure, don't let me get started now. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both their mind and their conscience are corrupt. So no matter what I say, no matter what I teach, if your mind is corrupt, you're going to twist it. Pastor trying to get something from me. Pastor trying to give you something. such as healthy relationships, not only with others, but how many of y'all want to have a healthy relationship with yourself? Would that make life a little easier? But if you're looking for something, write this down, you're going to find something. And what you find might not be good. And if you need a pen and paper, just raise your hand. We make sure you get notes. All right, so everybody got a photographic memory. You can remember everything, I'm sure. All right, I'm going to move on. Because see, once I know better, I'm going to do better. So the second scripture is Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Check this one out. So write this down. In order for the love language to work, it must be done in love and not manipulation. In order for the love languages to work, they must be done in love and not manipulation. See, love, the scripture says that whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And then as I did more study, it went on to say, this and only this will you receive. So if you're sowing in manipulation, what you going to receive? If you're sowing in love, what you going to get? So that's how that works. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And I'm reading in the Amplified. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. But let's read this part. But only faith activated and energized and expressed in what? Working through love. So God uses the love languages to love us. And we can use the love languages to love others. Because why waste our time giving people what they don't want or need? When you say that words of affirmation is your love language, then why not use that? Okay? So did I answer those questions? Everybody, I only had 3 points. Y'all got them? Any questions? Okay. So we've been talking about the language of love, the way we feel and receive love. Everybody say feel and receive. So it's a two-part process. We talked about, okay, I'm going to go ahead and skip that. Let's read this together, John 13, 34 through 35. I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you too are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. So I don't want to love you the way you want to be loved, because I prefer if I love you the way I want to love you. Is that unselfish concern for them? Well, I think you should be an acts of service person. So I'm an acts of service you everywhere we go. But you've already told me that you are what kind of person? What kind of person? Affirmation. An affirmation person. But that's not how I want to love you. What's wrong with that picture? It's selfish. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's backward. It's backwards. Yeah, yeah. So you know we're going deep, you're going backwards. I ain't fussing. I hope I'm not coming across fussing. Am I coming across fussing? Okay, I just want to make sure. So we talked about gifts as a love language. People like to give and receive. You know you're not gifts if you have trouble receiving. Oh, no, no, no. You shouldn't have. You're not a gifts person. You can give, but you can't receive. The gifts goes all the way around the board. You like giving and you like receiving. Because the bottom line is, whatsoever man sow, this and only this. Acts of service. You do. You like to do. You have fun doing. You can watch them and they can get you get tired of watching them because they move so much. Curly. But they're having fun. Quality time. Can I confess to y'all? I used to be words of affirmation until I became a pastor. And people lied to me so much. Because you know you can change these, right? I love you, Pastor. Do anything for you, Pastor. Serving God to you, Pastor. You know you the one. I've grown so much. Mighty quiet. So then you stop believing people because you see different than what they say. So you set healthy boundaries, never set walls. Y'all understand the difference, right? Wall, nobody gets out, nobody gets in. A healthy boundary, say, this is what I'll do. I'll set a boundary. It says, we'll wait and see. I love you where you are. But if you do different than what you say, that's on you, that's okay. Because people, it's a lie when you say you can't be in a relationship and have no expectations. God has expectations, so we just like him. He expects us to be what? Holy, as he is holy. He expects us to be righteous, as he's righteous. So over time, you know, once again, once I learned, I did. So, yeah, where's the affirmation? I think I'll leave that one alone. Let me switch up and go to another one. So I decided quality time is better for me. I spend time with people I love. Okay. Right. So then it's words of affirmation. And then physical touch. That's what works for me. You got to do what works for. So words of affirmation, we talked about that. And all these, we'll see God works in these. And so at any time, depending on who you're with, as to which one is in operation. Physical touch. That's touching somebody. We're going to see all those manifested in the Godhead. Okay? Any questions so far? So we went over this chart last week. I'll go over it briefly. So what's number one on this side? Notice I say husband. Okay? Words of affirmation, time, acts of service, and gifts. And we said last week, if there's more than two spaces in between, that's going to be a challenge area. Okay? So we said for the wife side, there was time, acts of service, gifts, physical touch, sex, words of affirmation. So if you guys look at the chart real quick and raise your hand high if you're going to use the mic, because last week people were raising their hand like this and we couldn't see who wanted to talk. So between physical touch on the husband side and words physical touch on the wife side. Number four, do you think that's going to be a challenge? Why would that be a challenge? Three spots apart, okay? So who's going to be bringing up sex? Okay, I got children in the joint. I mean, I got children in the church, so let me switch it up. Where's the affirmation? All right, so we got number two. Where's the affirmation? So what does the husband need? What does the wife need? So what happens if the husband start telling her how great she is, but what she need? Time. You can tell me how great I am, but if I need time, is your words doing anything for me? Okay. All right, so I'm going to move on. Yes, sir.
I'm assuming you can interchange, I mean, like your language of love at some point in your life or your week or whatever might be physical touch, another time it might be words of affirmation, so they can switch around, or mm-hmm. You just kind
of... Most of the time, Will, you have two dominant ones that manifest, and you live out of those two dominant ones. All right. Now, you can switch up. As time progresses, that is true, but most of the time you have two dominant ones. Yeah. So like your go-to. All right, so I'm going to keep going. So at the heart of love is the spirit of giving. So when you say you love somebody, you give. Y'all know people who love and stingy? I'm looking at the clock, Meredith. I'm looking at the clock. Y'all know people like that? They say they love you. They don't give you nothing. They don't give you time. They don't give you acts of service. They don't give you words of affirmation. They don't give you physical touch. What's the other one? Huh? Gifts? Back again, they don't give you nothing, but they say they love you. Okay? So at the heart of love is the spirit of giving. So we're talking about gifts. Let's look at it through the Godhead. John chapter 3, verse 16 in the New King James Version. For God so did what? Love the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, I see. So he gave us his best so that we could have and get the best. So he gave us his one and only so that we could have the best, which is everlasting life. So when you give from a position of love, you don't give stingily. Now, it's not about how much the gift costs. It's where the gift comes from. Is it coming from your heart? Amen? Yes, ma'am. Ms. Ashley?
Yeah, I was going to talk about physical touch real quick.
Okay, go ahead. At least we not talk about the trash can.
I was going to say, I find that I like to be physically touched by a certain person, but not other people.
Okay.
And you were saying we can use the love languages mm-hmm. for everybody, but mm-hmm. I don't want other people touching me. Okay. I just want him to touch me.
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Is that weird? I mean, but you said it's supposed to... Okay.
You ever see the black man turn red? So, I'm putting everybody on notice that the only person supposed to touch that woman is this man. Okay? That cleared it up? Everybody else, keep your hands, turn to your neighbor, keep your hands to yourself. Okay? All right? Now, see how easy that was? So everybody else reach out and say, talk to the hand. Okay? All right? We straight, Kim? We straight? Okay? All right? That was easy. But you see what love does? It gives. Write this down. Love finds an excuse to give. It doesn't have to wait on holidays, birthdays, anniversaries. You can give to yourself. You normally go to a cheap restaurant? Give to yourself. Hey, I'm going to a restaurant. You know, I stay busy a lot. And so sometimes Carol will say, well, I'm cooking something at home. I say, no, honey, let's go out because I want somebody to wait on me. Is that okay? Do they wait on you at McDonald's? No. You get a number, they call out the number and shoot, throw the food at you. So treat yourself. You can give, write this down. I'm a gift to myself. Glory to God. Shh. Ron, did you see it coming? Teresa, did you see it coming? I'm a gift to myself. So how are you going to treat yourself then? Huh? Should you treat yourself better than you've been treating yourself? Don't get me started, Miss Monty. You think you had Magda. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself. Wait, that said part, right? It said all of yourself, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, and intelligent act of worship. So what I present to God is an act of worship. What I put in this body is an act of worship. What I put on this body is an act of worship. Every time I get dressed, first thing I ask my wife, honey, am I showing too much chest? Okay, I see you laugh. We all right. Because, you know, you want to make sure you're decent and in order. Because some people be showing some stuff. Now, when I met her in college, she used to call me three buttons down. You know that? I had a button all the way down the head, boy. See? I ain't lying. Miss Betty, I had two halves on my chest. I wanted to make sure she saw. Huh? She know I ain't lying, y'all. I'm telling the truth, Cheryl. Yes, sir. There's three buttons down. That's what she called. So the more saved I got, the more modest I got. See what I'm saying? We all right, sis. We all right. I'm just telling y'all my story. I don't know y'all's story sometimes, but I got to tell you my story. Is that all right, Miss Audrey? So, you know, the tight skinny jeans. It's all right for some folk wear tight skinny jeans. But the pastor, they be looking at pastor a little funny. Pastor, you trying to show your stuff. Yeah. See what I'm saying? If I know better, boy, I got to do better. All right, so I'm going to move on. Is that all right? We're still talking about gifts. How to present yourself as a living sacrifice. So can y'all write this down for me? So who are you living for? What you eat, what you put on, how you act, how you respond. Are you living for him as an act of worship? Or are you living for you? You're looking pretty good. 15 more minutes. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, it says, we're still talking about gifts. We're talking about how the Godhead gives gifts. And his gifts to the church were varied. And he himself appointed some as apostles. He wanted to make sure he did it. Appointed some as apostles, special messengers and representatives. Some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people. Some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation. And some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. So what's a pastor's job? If you're not here, can he shepherd, guide, and instruct you? And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints. Who's the saints? God's people. For works of service to build up the body of Christ, the church. So he gave us gifts. What did he do? He gave us apostles. He gave us prophets. He gave us evangelists. He gave us pastors and teachers to perfect the body of Christ, which is you, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify, enrich, and transform lives. That's the gift he gave us. He gave us all the tools we needed in order to grow up. Amen? So I just got to go to something because it just. So, y'all turn to the scripture that says, y'all find the scripture for me. How does it go? The scripture is coming to me. About hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Y'all find that and let me know when you got it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you get it? Give me two translations, the New King James, the King James and the Amplified. Romans 10 and 17. Raise your hands if you're going to read it so that we can get a mic person there.
This is the Amplified version.
Okay, that's fine.
So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ to Messiah, the Messiah himself.
So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by preaching of the message that comes from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. Okay? All right? What's another translation? What translation was that? Okay. Okay. Teresa raised her hand.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version.
Okay.
Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
All right, so take me back to that last slide, Ashley. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The reason why I want to take you to this place for a second is because when God gave you a rhema word, that's a fresh word from Scripture to you about your identity. Well, in order to get more faith about the new identity he gave you, you need to speak that identity. So the same way faith comes by hearing, it's the same way that your faith grows as you start to confess who he says you are. So let me give you an example. He's given me various names over the years about how I am special to him. So we had one situation where a person had to go to court, and I showed up, but little did he know, he hoped that I was coming, but he didn't know. So this person's mom was praying, and they was praying for a person to go from this body because they couldn't go. And that person said, my main objective is, Father, I don't want my son to have to stand before the judge alone. But she said, I couldn't go. So I showed up. And when I got there, you know how you got to walk through this line? For those who have ever been in court, you got to walk through this metal detectors and all that kind of stuff. And the person turned around and saw me. And they bid me to come up to the line. But I said, no, I'm going to stay right here. Because you know people already on edge because they're going to court. How many of y'all know that? So I ain't want no fight break out because he called me up to the line. I'm like, no, I'll stay right here. And so I said, I don't know where the other guys are. And he said, that's all right, you here. And I said, now this is what I'm telling you. From this moment forth, I won't be talking to you. I'm going to be praying in the spirit until you walk in freedom from what the judge is about to do. I said, so don't be looking to me to be talking about the sports and all that. This is warfare. So little did I know that at home, God tells the person that can't come, that's praying for their son, God told them, I sent my best. So now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How often should I tell myself I'm his best? Y'all want me to show you what happens when you confess his word that he gave you about you? When I'm walking in Paul's power, all I see is Madeline. But when I walk in I'm his best, I see the congregation. So whenever we confess who we are in him, the rhema word he gave us, then our view is wider, our anointing is greater, our resources are more powerful. So that's what I'm trying to get to you guys. If he gave us a word that was a gift, we are to remind ourselves of the word he gave us. There's certain you all that if I were to ask you, what's your new identity that he gave you at the conference? You wouldn't know, but you know the scores. You know where you're going to eat. But all your power is in faith comes by hearing, hearing myself speak about his word as to who he says I am. You follow me? So if he's giving me five words, then the word that he gave me last, which is I'm his best, that's the word I'm going to be talking about. Once again, if I bring it up, it's because they gave me approval. So I'm in a session. And y'all know who've been in sessions with me. I put my feet on the desk because that's my way of saying it's no longer me, but it's all about you. And everything means something, guys. Body language means something. And I'm taking this person through this process, Porter, and they breathe. And I say, so what does that breath mean? I done been through all this before, and nothing happened. I've been through all these different counselors and nothing has changed. Is that where I'm supposed to argue with them? Or is that where I smile because I'm his best? And that's why you, God, sent her to me. So I smile. And I said, well, would you mind repenting of thinking that this time is going to be like the other times? Because it sounds like you're mad at God. Well, because I'm his best, and that's where he sent her to, she totally got healed. He had to walk the woman to the car because she couldn't stand up on her own. Now I say you need to sit in the parking lot because I got another session. So, you know, I had to say, you got to get out of here. Okay? Got to meet you in the car. But somebody else waiting on what you just got. You follow me? So if I'm his best, then that means you can't intimidate me. They'll try, though. They'll try. But it's not in my power. It's me rehearsing what he said about me. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, when was the last time you rehearsed what he said about you? And wait on us. Appreciate your honesty, Will. Heard Will say, not that off. Because the name that he gave you is the name he wants you to use to walk out of what you're into. If you're into finances, the name he gave you takes care of that. If you're trouble in relationships, the name he gave you calls you to walk out of it. He knew what I was going to have to deal with by being the best. So he wanted to make sure whenever situations come up, you be stored up in that. You follow me? Y'all get it?
Yes.
Amen. So I just had to go to that. Acts of service. Now, y'all saw where God did gifts, right? Now, let's show y'all won't say, well, you can't find it in the scripture. Matthew chapter 14, verse 16 through 21. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. So some folks hungry. How many of y'all know what hungry folk act like? What they say about the Snicker bar? Angry. So y'all think they were angry? They out in the desert. I mean, they out in the wilderness. Let's put it like that. So they got some grass because, you know, they got some grass. I think they got grass. All right? So don't y'all quote me on that. But they out there and they're hungry. They don't have a Snickers bar. So it said, but Jesus said to them, to the disciples, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. They replied, we have nothing here except 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them here to me. Why would he tell them bring them to me? Because I tried bringing them to you. And what you do? Didn't do anything? So he said, just bring them to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Oh, they got grass? They got grass. Holy Spirit, make sure he confirmed his word with signs following. So they got grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up towards heaven. Write this down. Thank God for everything you got. No matter how small it is, thank him for everything you got. Because by thanking him for everything you got, you see what happened. He blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. So y'all want to know that the fact that as they started to give, the basket started to grow. So I'm getting to Wayne. He's about 399. I'm getting to you, Mary. And all of a sudden, it don't look like nothing in the basket. But as I give the basket for her to reach in, the fish and the bread grow. So where it looks like I have nothing, when I move in the anointing, it grows as I go. I don't know about y'all, but I'm there, man. And they all ate. Did they leave out anybody? They all ate and were satisfied. How many of y'all like be satisfied? So if you wanted another piece, Spencer, could you ask for another piece? Because you were satisfied. Because I know some of us not two fish people. What's that fish place, honey, where they pack the fish up on you? Kroger spot. I know some of us not no two fish people. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the leftover broken pieces. And they were about 5,000 men who ate besides women and children. So there were some hungry men, and thank God the men shared with the families. All right, because otherwise the scripture would have said something about that. Right, Shell? It would have. So this is an act of service. So what did Jesus do as an act of service? He fed the multitudes. Let's look at John chapter 13, verse 5/14. Then he poured water into the basin and began washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel which was tied around his waist. He started washing what? Now, y'all know them some stinky feet. They had sandals and they walking around. I mean, some of us, we won't even want to wash our own feet. So you know there was some stinky feet. So if the Lord and the teacher wash your feet, you are to wash one another's feet as well. And check verse 15 out. For I gave you this as an example, so that you should do in turn as I did to you. Y'all heard a few Sundays, we short staffed on something. The pastor said, I said, hey, I'll serve. I'm not above serving. That's what God has called us to. Now, we would love for us to have enough faithful, committed people that they can serve, and I can do this job while they do their job. But he says, I'm doing this as an example. He's saying that I'm willing to bow down and let you be who you are as I be who I am. Because he made it clear, his title, I'm Lord and I'm teacher. But I'll wash your feet as an example. And that's all I have for you today, folks. Amen? Amen? Any questions? So we did acts of service and we did gifts. So what we got left? The affirmation, quality time, and physical touch.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.